We won't be very long tonight. Just a few words of encouragement, and then the lesson will be yours tonight. In 1 Corinthians, the 6th chapter, beginning at verse number 15. Beginning at verse number 15. The Bible says, it asks a question. It said, what? Know ye not that he which is joined to an harlot is one body? For two, saith he, shall be one flesh. But he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. Flee fornication. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body. But he that committed fornication sinneth against his own body. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. When we speak of the church, we are often referring to this building where we meet throughout the week and we gather for worship. However, I came to tell us tonight that this building is not the church. Hello, somebody. It is a place where the church gathers. The church is that universal, mystical body made up of every person that has trusted Jesus Christ by faith and has been born into the family of God. What we are sitting in here today is not the sanctuary. You, and that is, if you are saved, you are the sanctuary of God. The word temple in verse number 19 of our text refers not to the whole place of the temple, but to the place of the Holy of Holies. The place where God dwells. What Paul is trying to tell us this evening, Northwest, is that we are a dwelling place of the Almighty God. And I do not know how that touches you this evening, but that is a sobering realization to me. Somehow, Northwest, we have the opinion that what we do has no effect on us spiritually. The truth, however, is vastly different. If you are saved, God lives in you. Huh? Therefore, everywhere you go, everything you do, everything that touches you, in effect, touches God. And that is why Paul tells these Corinthian Christians that they are God's temple. It appears that many were using their bodies for immoral purposes, and they were defiling their temple. In Corinth, there was the temple of Diana. Now, you know, Diana was this goddess of sex and love. In her temple, there were over 1,000 female priestesses. In reality, they were nothing more than prostitutes. Because in order to worship Diana, you had to have sexual relations or sexual intercourse with one of those temple prostitutes. Many in this church were used to this lifestyle. They reasoned that God had saved their souls and their body was different. They had the mindset, the Northwest, that said, what I do with my body has no impact on my spiritual walk with God. Well, I came to tell us tonight that this is a world away from reality and the world away from the truth. When God gave his plan for the tabernacle and later on for the temple, he set forth uncertain terms. The plain fact that he demanded purity in material and construction. Otherwise, he would never have filled it with his glory. So I came to tell us tonight that God would not fill a dirty temple. This evening, I want to focus for a while on this concept of Christians being the temple of God. And I would like in doing so to draw some comparisons between these earthly, fleshly temples and the temple that stood there in Jerusalem. And I would like to preach for a while on the idea it may be your body, but it's still God's temple. And as I bring this message, please allow the Lord to speak to your hearts tonight. It may be that you have been letting your guard down and using your body to do things that are not right in the sight of God. If that is the case tonight, I want you to know that there is forgiveness in Jesus Christ. Perhaps we just all need to have a reminder of whose we really are. So I want for you to think on these things as we look at it may be your body, but it's still God's temple. And I want to cover 5 points tonight, and they'll be brief. I want to look at our body as being a place of dedication, being a place of devotion, a place of duty, a place of death, and then finally a place of display. There are several differences or several comparisons between our bodies and the original temple of God. It is that common ground that I would like to address to us this evening. So what about our bodies being a place of dedication? Well, this earthly temple was a place that was wholly dedicated to God and his glory. Nothing that defiled was allowed on the grounds, you see. When something out of the ordinary occurred, God took immediate steps to take care of that problem. You all remember Nadab and Abihu in Leviticus chapter 10, verses 1 and 2. These sons of Eleazar, they offered what? Strange fire before the Lord. And what did God do? The scripture said that God killed them. It also appears in the text in that same chapter in Leviticus chapter 10, verses 8 through 11, that there were men who were guilty of drunkenness before the Lord. But be that as it may tonight, the earthly temple was a place that was set aside for God and his glory. Is it all right? These earthly bodies we dwell in is also set apart for his glory. According to our text tonight, no one in this room has the right to use his or her body other than that which glorifies the Lord. What's the reason for that, Brother Hall? Well, the reason is that we have been bought with a price. Jesus went to Calvary and paid the price for our sins. When we came to him by faith in his shed blood, we entered into a covenant relationship with him. In that relationship, he has promised to love us. In that relationship, he has promised to provide for us and ultimately take us to heaven and spend eternity with him. What was our promise, Brother Hall? Well, our promise was to turn from sin and follow him totally. In truth, when we came to Jesus for salvation, we gave up all claims of our body and what we desire to do with our bodies. We do not belong to ourselves. Who do we belong to, Brother Hall? We belong to the Lord. Therefore, regardless of what we are doing, it does not bring glory and honor to God, then it is sin. If it does not bring glory and honor to God. The 1 Corinthians 10 and 31 says, whether therefore you eat or drink, whatever you do, do all what? To the glory of God. There is a story told about a young man who asked a young girl in college to go to a dance with him. And I'll tell you, this was a classic response to her request. He said, I love to go to a dance with you, but I can't. And when asked why, he said, I have no feet. Now, the girl was quickly to see that he really did have feet with which he could have danced with her, and she told him so. He simply told her that when he got saved, he lost control of those feet, and that now he didn't have any feet to use for dancing. He said that his feet had become God's feet, totally given over to God. Then our bodies ought to be a place of devotion. The temple was a place where men gathered to worship God. They came to the temple to glorify God. It was a place where songs were sung and prayers were prayed and hands were raised and praise was rendered and God was magnified. The temple was a place of worship. Isaiah says in Isaiah 56, and the verse is number 7. He said, even them will I bring to my holy mountain and make them joyful in my house of prayer. Their burnt offerings and their sacrifices shall be accepted upon mine altar, for mine house shall be called a house of prayer for all people. Now, just as the temple was devoted to God and was a place of worship, these bodies ought to be a place where God is worshiped. Hello, somebody. The truth is that these bodies will render worship to God or another. These Corinthian believers, with their mouths, they acknowledged Jesus Christ. Then with their bodies, they participated in the worship of Diana. Now, the question may arise this evening. Well, Brother Hall, how can I worship God with my body? Well, I'm glad you asked, because there are many answers, but I want to give you just a few. In Romans chapter 12, beginning at verse number 1 and 2, the Bible says, I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may be proved that is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. He said here, present it as a living sacrifice, a covenant with God, that you will use your body for nothing that will dishonor or degrade his name. Make what would Jesus do a standard for living and not just a catchphrase. Hello, somebody. In Jeremiah 33, and the verse is number 3, the Bible says, call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Don't you know tonight that we ought to prostrate our body in prayer to the Lord? Huh? Take your bodies aside from the world and go to the Lord in prayer on a regular basis. Nothing glorifies God quite like people who will trust him enough to call upon him through faith. Then the Hebrew writer says in Hebrews 13, and the verse is number 5. He said, let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have. For he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Then the Matthew writer says in Matthew 28, and the verse is number 20. He says, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Practice his presence. Never forget that Jesus is ever with you. Learn to walk with him through knowledge of his abiding presence. You know, if you will stop and consider that Jesus is there and that he is watching, it may prevent many of us from engaging in activities that will dishonor his name. Amen, Walls. The Hebrew writer says in Hebrews 13, in the verse is number 15, it says, by him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruits of our lips, giving thanks to his name. And then the psalmist says in Psalm chapter 41, and the verse is 1, he says, oh, clap your hands, all ye people, shout unto God with the voice of triumph. Then what we need to do here, we need to praise him continually. Determine in our hearts tonight that we will not let circumstances, of life, no bump in the road, stop us from having a thankful heart of praise before the Lord God tonight. And then we need to place our bodies in his hand for service. For the Roman writer says in Romans chapter 6, and the verse is number 16, he said, know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves service to obey, his service ye are to whom you obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. In other words, Northwest, you're going to yield your bodies to one master or another. It will either be the gods of this world, Satan, the flesh, or it will be the Almighty God. But you're going to yield to one of them. Yield yourself. I encourage you tonight. Yield yourselves to the Lord, and he will use you for his glory, and he will bless you. These other things that you do will just leave you broken, and it will leave you empty. Now, can you honestly say tonight, Northwest, that you're using your body as a house of worship before the Lord? And then thirdly, we ought to use our bodies as a place of duty. Now, you know the temple was a place where men carried out the duties that they had been given by the Lord. Such things such as sacrifices, tithing and offering and prayers were all carried out at the temple. It was a place where duties were performed. These fleshly temples are also places where we are to carry out the duties that we have been given by God. We need to adopt the same mindset of the great Apostle Paul in the long ago. Even though God was using Paul to pen the scriptures and preach the gospel under the mighty manifestation of divine power, Paul referred to himself as a mere servant. The word there is literally bond slave, one who has made a conscious decision to give totally of himself to God and to his will. In other words, a person who relinquishes all of himself over to God, to gain and to glory. A person who wishes nothing more than just to be exactly what God wants him to be. Is your temple a place of duty of the Lord where the work can be carried out? There are many areas where we are duty bound before the Lord. What are we duty bound before the Lord in, Brother Hall? Where we're duty bound in evangelism. We are duty bound in worship. We are duty bound in prayer. We are duty bound in tithing. We are duty bound in obedience. We are duty-bound in holiness. We are duty-bound in righteousness and in thousands of other ways. We are duty-bound before the Lord. So then how do we stack up this evening before the Lord? And then fourthly, that old temple in Jerusalem was a scene of many deaths. Millions of animals were taken there and slain on the altar of obedience, in obedience to God's command. While there was praise going on there in Jerusalem temple, while there was singing going on at the Jerusalem temple, while there was worshiping going on in this great place, there was also the stench of death in the temple at Jerusalem. Every time anyone went to that temple, they were immediately confronted with a death scene. Huh? Like it or not, men should be confronted with the same scene when they come in contact with God's temple. You and I are challenged to be dead to certain things in this world. Huh? According to the Bible, we have been born again, 1 Peter 1, and the verse is number 23. And then as a result of being born again, the Bible says that we have been totally, we become totally a new creation, 2 Corinthians 1, 5, and the verse is number 17. Therefore, we are expected to be dead to our old way of life and into a way of life held so dear by this world's system. Colossians 3, verses 1 through 9. In these passages of Scripture, we are told to put off or consider ourselves dead to certain activities. Huh? Among those certain activities that we are told to be dead to is fornication. Fornication is any illicit sexual sin. Premarital sex, extramarital sex, homosexuality, and lesbianism. This term runs the gamut of sexual sin and is all inclusive. The only safe sex known to God is that which occurs within the boundaries of marriage. Say amen, Walt. I am not just talking about intercourse. I'm referring to any sexual expression. It is forbidden by God. That may seem repressive to many of us here tonight, but I'll tell you one thing. It's right. It is by the book. And if you want to dishonor and defile your temple, you will have to deal with God about it. Amen, Walls. Uncleanness is impurity of thought or life, inordinate affection, evil desires and passion, evil concupiscence, an evil lust for the forbidden. This is the sin that fueled Adam and Eve fall into sin, if you remember. Covetousness, greed, or the sin of not being satisfied with what you already have. And then there's lying. We should always speak the truth and never, ever try to gray it out. There is such thing as absolute truth, you know. And what this boils down to, Northwest, is that we are to put these bodies to death for the glory of God. Now, understand. Now, he doesn't want any of us going out killing ourselves. Huh? Don't misunderstand that. But he does want us to retrain ourselves, and rein in our bodies. We are to control them and not the other way around. In 1 Corinthians 9. In the verse of 27, here Paul said that he keeps under his body. That phrase means to hit under the eye. It's a boxing term, and it means to punch or to beat into submission. Let me tell you something tonight. If you don't control your body and its passions, it will control you. And then lastly, our bodies ought to be a place of duty, of display. Our bodies ought to be a place of display. When men saw the temple standing there in Jerusalem, they were reminded of God. They were made to recall that there is a God in heaven, a God in heaven who loves sinners and has made a way for their redemption. These bodies, as temples of the Lord, are our witness to the world that we have been redeemed. Every time the world sees a child of God, they see a manifestation of the power and the grace of an almighty God. That is why Paul referred to the Corinthian believers as his epistles in 2 Corinthians 3, and the verse is number 2. Paul is telling them that everywhere they turn tonight, Northwest, everywhere they go, they are a living, breathing love letter to humanity. Letter that says to sinners, what God has done here, he can do in you. What God has done here, he can do in you. Don't you know that you may be the only sermon, huh, that some people will ever see? That church is a message worth repeating. That temple in Jerusalem was covered with gold. It sat on the highest hill in the city facing the east. Every morning when the sun broke over the horizon, it cast its light on that great structure. It literally blazed in the glory of the sun. Perhaps that was the reference point for Christ. Word that he made in Matthew chapter 5 in the verse is number 14. When he said, ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on the hill cannot be hid. Day or night, the temple of God was always alight with the glory of God. And I want you to know that there is a lesson here for you and me tonight. And that lesson is that we are to be such reflectors of the glory of God that man can see his power working through our lives. We are to be bright, shining example of his saving power tonight. Whether you like it or not, you are a witness if you are a child of God. Your life either speaks well of Jesus or it brings dishonor to him by the things you do and how you live in this body. Somebody need to hear that this evening. His plan for us is summed up by Paul in Philippians 1, and the verse is 27. He said, only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you, or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that ye stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. What kind of statement are we making about Jesus tonight, Northwest? What kind of statement are we making? Yes, it's your body. But if you are saved, it is still God's temple. How are you treating the house of God tonight? Are you totally dedicated to Jesus this evening? Are you using your body to worship him in true devotion? Are you fully exercising your duties before the Lord tonight? Have you put these things to death in your life that dishonor him? Is your life a pleasing display to the saving grace of God? If there are needs, then you need to bring them to Jesus. You need to do that tonight. So some here may not be saved. Well, I came to tell you tonight that you can be if you want to be. And if you're not saved, then some will say, well, you're not the God's temple. And that may be very true, but let me tell you something. That does not erase the fact that you still have an obligation. Because I remember what the writer says in Acts 17:30. What the Bible said that at the time of this ignorance, God winked at, but now commanded all men everywhere to do what? To repent. Huh? And Acts 2 and verse 38 said, repent and be baptized. What? For the remission of your sin. Then you will receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. He will save you by his grace. Will you give him the right? Will you give him the right of way in your life tonight? If you are saved, have you obeyed from the heart the teachings of the scriptures? We can know that God is and that the Bible is his word. Further, we can understand it tonight. We can know that in order to be saved, having obeyed his command, we can have an assurance of salvation. Can we truly sing tonight? Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine tonight. If not, why not obey the gospel tonight? Then you can say with the Apostle Paul that he said in Galatians 2, and the verse is number 20. Paul said, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. In the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine, heir of salvation, purchase of God, born of his spirit, washed in his blood. Yes, this is my story. This is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. It may be your body, but it's still God's temple. And I hope and pray that I've said something tonight that would encourage us, because sometimes, you know, our young people nowadays are getting the idea that it's all right to do whatever they want to do in this body and don't have to answer to anybody for it. They thinking that using drugs is all right. They thinking that smoking and drinking is all right. Well, I'm going to tell you, remind you again, it may be your body, but it's still God's temple. And we're going to answer for the things we've done in this body, whether it be good or whether we bad, at the day of judgment. So what about you?